This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
As a guy who learned the hard way how important proper nutrition is on your health and the great harm excess weight can have on your health, I urge you to get serious about your health with SimpleToLose.com. Diets don't work, and you're really only going to be successful losing weight when you learn how to eat differently. And that is why the free health coaches at SimpleToLose are so helpful. They teach you how to eat six meals a day and why it works. Many people on my team are working with SimpleToLose and their health coaches. As a team, we've lost over 850 pounds. Mary has lost over 85 pounds and wants to live a long life to keep her family strong. Brad's lost 40 pounds, finally feels like he did when he was in his 30s. Chris, whose father died young due to obesity, has lost 100 pounds and is off most of his medications. Change your life, get healthy, and thrive today. Go to SimpleToLose.com today, not tomorrow. Go today. SimpleToLose.com.
Results do vary. Typical weight loss is 2 to 5 pounds per week for the first 2 weeks, then 1 to 2 pounds per week thereafter.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Reminding America that liberals are funny until you put them in charge of something. Then when that happens, they turn downright dangerous. Glad you made it, everybody, to the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network, the antidote to the Brian Williams Press. Getting in touch with me is very, very easy to do. All you got to do is pick up the phone, dial me up, 888-933-93, 888-900-3393, and you are in touch with moi. Well, actually, you got to talk to Skipper first, and then you're going to be in touch with moi. Make sure you head to the Facebook page, The Chris Salcedo Show. There you will find a lot of stuff catching my notice. It's show prep, so you get an insight into my head as to the direction the show will go in. And, of course, in a week dominated by Baltimore, and I will get to Baltimore. We will talk about Baltimore, but I'm not leading with Baltimore. Why? Because you've been hammered over the head with Baltimore all week long. And other things of consequence have been happening. Still, it is an important story because, for example, the top post on the Salcedo Show page right now, I have titled, Leftist Lawless Liberals Unite in Dallas. Opponents of the rule of law, i.e. the cops, gathered, and they joined another protest, those who also don't like our immigration laws, and an immigration law being proposed in the state of Texas that would allow police officers to inquire about one's immigration status upon stopping an individual for another offense, i.e. speeding, i.e. reckless driving, i.e. drunk driving. Just inquire, hey, are you legal? SB 1252, I'm not sure that's the exact bill they are protesting. I'm pulling up the story because I pulled it up and I posted it and I had some other stuff to do with as far as show prep is concerned. And forgive me if there's some pop-up noise that happens. But, they didn't specify which law it was. There is a law here in Texas called SB 1252, which would allow Texas to coordinate with other states and do the job the federal government refuses to do. I'm all for that. By the way, I am your liberty-loving Latino, just in case our friends in the Brian Williams Press forget that. As a matter of fact, I have sound bites. I don't even know if I'll get to them. I have sound bites of other Latinos showing up to the Austin State House, that is the capital of Texas, and testifying that they want it too. And it busts the whole liberal narrative that we Hispanics love to break the law and advocate breaking the law. Of course, that's what you hear from the Brian Williams Press all the time. That's what you hear from the Democrat Party all the time. Hey, you know what? If you start talking about upholding the rule of law, that's anti-Hispanic. And many of us Hispanics are going, whoa, wait a minute. Who said we didn't like the law? Who said that we aren't adherents and devotees to the Constitution of the United States as American citizens? Who said that? I'll tell you who said it. Libs. Democrats. The Brian Williams Press. All the same thing. All the same thing. Just they're just relabeled to achieve their goals. So anyway, we have leftists, lawless liberals uniting in Dallas. And these were two separate protests that came together in common cause against the United States of America. Good grief. All right. So I don't want to start today with Baltimore. I'm going to be sprinkling through. There's so much stuff that happened this week. I will tell you this. You'll get a steady dose of Baltimore, probably more in the third hour. But there are other things I want to focus in on. And by the way, the Twitter handle, at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, as in Texas. Coming on the show today, retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He'll be on to talk about some stuff you may have missed this week going on with Iran. Following hour, Richard Miniter, which the Salcedo Show has partnered with his American Media Institute. You know, the Blaze News does a fantastic job of covering today's news, bringing us breaking news. Richard Miniter's outfit is part of the investigative part of journalism, which has died in the Brian Williams press because, you see, we have left-wingers in charge. And when left-wingers in charge, the investigative journalists at ABC, NBC, and CBS, they go away. Cheryl Atkinson, by the way, formerly of CBS News, she thought that her job continued as an investigative journalist when there was a Democrat in office. She was quickly corrected by the CBS brass, and that's why she's gone. Now she's with the Daily Signal, and she's doing good work there. So too is Richard Miniter at the American Media Institute. Something else that you may have missed that the Brian Williams press did not inform you about, this in regards to the continuing waste of our money and the Obama stimulus package way back there in 2009. Yes, the damage is continuing to be done, and the failure is continuing with your money. Also going to have a conversation with a guy named Rick DeToto. It's the first time he's been on the Salcedo Show. He is an attorney, and we will go through the ins and outs of what's going to happen to these police officers charged in Baltimore with the death of Freddie Gray. Okay, so that's all coming up in the Salcedo Show. I hope you can be a part of it. But leading off the program, our pal Jay Sekulow, he was having a conversation over there about the IRS scandal. Again, something else that went by the wayside because you were paying attention to the looters, the arsonists, the assault and batterers, otherwise known as thugs. And yes, MSNBS, they were thugs despite your attempt to curtail our free speech and tell the truth in the United States of America. So while folks are paying attention to that, you may have missed what was going on with the Internal Revenue Service. Oh yes, they still have not been brought to justice for their illegal targeting of conservatives. On with Martha McCallum and Bill Hemmer's program, America's Newsroom. Here's Jay Sekulow commenting on these newly found IRS emails, the same IRS emails that we were all told, they're gone, they're lost.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a complete cover-up. And the reality is the Inspector General, and we are very thankful for his continued efforts to get these emails. But the fact of the matter is that, could you imagine if you were being audited by the IRS and you said, hey, I'd like to produce those receipts. I'd like to have those documents. You know what, though? They got destroyed, and the backup tape, there was just nothing there. We tried, and we destroyed it. What would happen to you? If it was a civil case, you'd be fined and pay unbelievable penalties. If a criminal case, you'd go to jail.
That's a hell of a point right there. Because in Obama's America, and I don't want to put this all on Obama, because the foundation for this was laid well before him by the progressives in our society. Notice I didn't indicate a political party there. The foundation has been laid to transfer authority and power to unelected bureaucrats who don't answer to we the people. I mean, it's great for Barack Obama to get up there. First he said the allegations were outrageous about the IRS. Then he told Bill O'Reilly, not a smidgen of corruption there, which is a complete and utter lie. A lie among so many others Mr. Obama has told to the people. But these individuals believe they're above the law. John Koskinen up there in his arrogant, snitty ways. They believe that it is up to them to impose their ideals on us. And what does the IRS care? They don't rely on you and me. Well, they rely on you and me for their salary, but they don't rely on you and me for their jobs. That has to change. Jonathan Turley, a constitutional law professor, a liberal, said that this growing fourth class of government must be stopped. This unaccountable, bureaucratic fourth branch of government that was never envisioned by our founders. Why? Because they are not beholden to you and me. They don't answer to you and me, and they must. If they have power over you and me, they must answer to you and me when they step out of line. And that is not happening right now because of the progressives in our government. Again, notice, I did not identify a party. More from Jay Sekulow.
What happens here? The IRS, because there's a complete lack of accountability in this agency, they get away with this. I mean, you got the press statement when this announcement came that the new 6,500 emails had been recovered. The IRS says, oh, that's good. Now it'll shed some light on what's happened. Well, you know, how about this? The Department of Justice had that fake criminal investigation going on, and I think the American people have had it. This is an agency, Martha, that's completely incapable of self-correcting, and what they've done here is criminal. What they've done is a crime. The idea that you would target citizens because you didn't like their view, and we've got all these emails, including emails with the Department of Justice, the Federal Election Commission, this is a multi-agency disaster.
It is, and he's right. It is a crime. A crime that there are progressives right now in government working very hard to make sure the IRS gets away with it. You might be asking yourself, well, why would elected leaders of We the People be working so hard to make sure the Internal Revenue Service is not held accountable? You know why? Because the Internal Revenue Service is too important to them. Because the Internal Revenue Service has power over you, over me, over the country, to either ruin us or allow us to continue. It's a wonderful tool for blackmail. It's a wonderful tool for control. And the progressives in our government don't want to lose it. Problem is, we, the people, are becoming a little more educated. We're coming around to understanding just how dangerous an unaccountable bureaucracy is. The Internal Revenue Service is stacked full of criminals. Will your elected leaders make them accountable? That's entirely up to you. If you make sure they understand that their continued ability to draw a public paycheck, courtesy of we the taxpayers, relies on bringing the criminals in the Internal Revenue Service to account for what they did. It's the Salcedo Show here on The Blaze, everybody. Back with you in a second.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
The Blaze Radio Network. Salcedo.
I want to be sure that we get small businesses starting and growing in America again. We have stalled out.
Turns out Hillary was right. Economic reporting this week about the first quarter of 2015. We have stalled out. We grew at 0.2%. Not 2%, which would have been anemic and bad enough. 0.2%. 0.2% was the growth in the first quarter of 2015. It's George Will was examining this and said, you know, you would have to be a miracle worker with cheap energy, with inexpensive costs to consumers, to fill up their tank, to be able to turn in such an anemic number. You would have to work really hard. Economists are marveling at how Barack Obama has put such a stranglehold over the U.S. economy that he was able to achieve such a low number. It's really quite astonishing. Nothing restricts the growth of our society, economically speaking, like big government. And Barack Obama has managed to do it. Congratulations, libs. I mean, I guess it's better than the beginning of 2014. First quarter of 2014 was minus 2.1. There are going to be revisions to this number, folks. I suspect they'll be revised down. I would not be surprised if we contracted again in the first quarter of this new year. So keep that in mind. All right, back to Jay Sekulow. He was visiting with the folks over at Fox. Here's what he hopes will happen with Lois Lerner in the future. Here's what he says needs to happen. I think it is up to us to call up our elected leaders, to send them letters, to light up their phone lines and saying, no, this is what Jay Sekulow says should happen. We need to make this happen.
Well, the two things I think are going to happen. Number one, obviously, the inspector general hasn't stopped. The Department of Justice still has this, so-called investigation going on. And by the way, these emails, we know that about 700 of them were from the critical time period. I mean, the most critical time period of this. So those are being analyzed now.
And those are in the 6,500 that they just found.
Yeah, okay. So they're gonna go ahead. Now, some of those may be duplicates. We don't know that yet. They're being reviewed by the House committees. But you've got a House committee. We've got our litigation. And I'll tell you something else. That Department of Justice investigation, which really has been a complete, to my mind, a full investigation, as this information continues to come out, Martha, we are going to compel the Department of Justice, and there may be a new Department of Justice in 18 months because this scandal's not going away, to get into this and put this matter to rest. And the way you do that is, you, number one, hold people accountable. Number two, you change the system that's not working. And number three, if somebody's not doing their job, they get fired. You know how many people have been fired by the Internal Revenue Service for this? Zero.
Zero.
Lois Lerner wasn't fired. She quit.
Yeah, nothing says accountability like being able to screw your fellow citizens, to punish them for their political views and still keep taking their money and still keep have them, through their hard work, through their taxes, take their money. That's a special kind of government that will force you to pay the salary of those who are bending you over. Very nice. Very nice, Team Obama. That's his idea of accountability. So that's what was going on that particular score while another liberal city burned this week, Baltimore. Then there was this. Remember Barack Obama sent over the Teddy Roosevelt over to the Gulf region, Straits of Hormuz, to keep commerce flowing, we were told. At first, we thought he was going to stand up to the Iranians who were trying to send in arms to the Iranian-backed Houthi terrorists in Yemen. No. Barack Obama quickly corrected us and said, no, we're just going to keep commerce flowing. Well, how's that working out?
We have reports that Iran has seized, intercepted a commercial U.S., a commercial cargo ship in the United States that seems to be getting involved.
Yeah, the Pentagon watching this very closely and more. In fact, I want to bring in our chief national security correspondent, Jim Sciutto. Jim, what do you know?
This is CNN discovering that Team Obama's cover story of sending over an aircraft carrier, which was going to do nothing, which was all for show here at home. Because nobody was under any illusion that he would stand in Iran's way whatsoever. This is the result.
John, it's really a remarkable confrontation here. This ship, to be clear, was not a U.S. ship. It's a Marshall Islands flagged ship and no Americans on board. But it was a U.S. guided missile destroyer, the USS Farragut, that answered a distress call. Elements from the Iran Revolutionary Guards, they have their own navy. They attempted to force this ship into Iranian waters. The ship's captain refused, issued a distress call. The Iranian ships then fire across the cargo ship's bow. This is a big cargo ship. It's owned by Maersk, one of those big cargo lines. They fire shots across the bow. The captain gives in. But by this point, the U.S. Navy has already answered the distress call. They were some 60 miles away when it happened, so they weren't, right on top of the ship. But the ship is now in Iranian hands, and I'm told by a senior U.S. military official that even as it heads now further into Iranian waters, it is U.S. warplanes that are monitoring its status.
Now, before the Maersk Tigris, which is what the CNN report was about, a couple of days before that, a U.S. ship was cornered by Iranian patrol boats and then shadowed. The response from the Obama administration was nothing. Then you had the Tigris, where Iranians opened fire across the bow and now have this cargo ship. And Team Obama said his stated mission there was to keep commerce flowing. Right. So here, the Iranians capture this cargo vessel. And what was our response? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because Obama wants a deal to give Iranian nukes to the mullahs. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to talk about this whole situation that you probably missed because you were watching a liberal city disintegrate before your eyes. Colonel Tony Schaefer in next on the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network. So glad you made it for a Saturday.
You're listening to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Our understanding stand today, and I don't think there is any divergence here. If we have an agreement on the 30th of June, within a few days after that, we will have a resolution in the Security Council under Article 41 of Chapter 7, which will be mandatory for all member states, whether Senator Cotton likes it or not.
That is the Iranian ambassador taking a swipe at one of our sitting senators, a Republican, Tom Cotton, the man who fired off that letter to the Iranians. And it seems that the Iranian ambassador has an ally in Barack Obama because a verbal attack on one of our citizens, one of those in government, went unanswered by the United States and by the White House, who didn't feel compelled to. You get the sense that it's those who are for America against the mullahs in Iran and Barack Obama teamed up. We'll talk about this because this program likes to grind against conventional wisdom. I know I'm going to get into Baltimore, I promise you. But this is our effort to catch you up on what you missed while you watched another liberal city burn. Glad you made it to the Salcedo Show, everybody here on the Blaze Radio Network. Telephone number if you want to reach out and say hello, of course, is 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393, the Broadway studio line here. And, of course, on Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX, and on Facebook, The Chris Salcedo Show. Make sure you head there. I want to welcome the first guest today, our pal, retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA-trained, former senior intelligence officer, New York Times best-selling author as well. His latest book is The Last Line. He is a senior fellow with both the London Center for Policy Research and the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. Colonel, welcome back.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Good to be on.
Okay, let's talk about, first off, we had the incidences, I just brought the audience up to speed, where a U.S. ship was cornered by some Iranian patrol boats and then shadowed and no response from the Obama White House. Then we have the Maersk Tigris that was, they basically captured firing weapons across its bow and then ushering it into Iranian waters again. There seems to be nothing the Iranians can do to earn the ire of the mullahs in Iran. And this is what we were told the Teddy Roosevelt and our presence over in the Gulf was there to do, was to keep commerce flowing. And when the Iranians, you know, capture a cargo ship and take it into their custody, the U.S. does nothing. What does this tell you?
Well, what's notable, Chris, is that the ship that they actually cornered and were able to take into Iranian waters in the port was actually a Marshall Islands flagship. And for those of your audience may not be familiar, Marshall Islands is really one of our protectorates. It's really U.S. territory. Now, what's ironic here is that the White House lawyers were able to actually somehow redefine the language of our agreement with the Marshall Islands, being a protectorate of the United States, and say, yeah, we really don't have to protect their shipping. It's totally insane, and it's in sync with what you're saying. The White House is not on the American people's side. It's not on the side of the allies that I'm aware of. That they're out for a deal with the Iranians at whatever the cost. And I think the only reason you saw the U.S. response that you did is because there are certain plans already in place that had been there since the 80s to deal with Iranian bad actions. As you might recall, President Reagan went about sinking most of the Iranian Navy back during his watch because of something similar. So what you're seeing here is the Iranians know that under this president, there'll be no Reagan-type response. There'll be no clear, definitive response to anything they do. Because right now, all this White House wants is this bogus deal regarding the Iranian nuclear program that that is worth the ink papers can be written on.
Yeah, you broke up just a little bit. I think you said it wasn't worth the ink and the paper that it was written on. Look, first off, just so I'm caught up because maybe I missed it, did you hear of any type of U.S. response to the capturing of this vessel? Because I saw nothing.
No. The only response, Chris, was that they're going to now begin to put ships, U.S. Navy warships, escorting, quote-unquote, U.S. flagships. Now, that, again, is kind of TBD. Exactly how you define U.S. flagship is a bit vague at this point in time.
You know what? Short of, and maybe not even then, short of sinking a ship, I don't think that the Obama administration will act. What do you make of the Iranian ambassador taking a poke at Senator Tom Cotton? And then again, you know, I remember, you may or may not remember this, when George Bush was president, and somebody overseas took a shot at him, verbally. And Charlie Rangel, Democrat from New York, said, in the only way Charlie can, look, you know, we'll deal with our president over here. You know, you overseas, you don't get to say that about my president, he said. And here was a Democrat with some integrity who stood up and said, no, you don't do that. So when you're looking for that type of integrity from the Obama White House, when you've got a hostile, anti-American, declared enemy of the United States taking shots at a sitting senator, we saw nothing from the Obama White House other than silence.
Yeah, no, I like the fact you brought up Charlie Rangel. Charlie Rangel, my friend Walter Jones and I have been on panels before, and Charlie actually does have a very patriotic streak in him, and God bless him for doing that. But as you point out, Tom Cotton simply, as my understanding, restated for the world to understand that there's a something called the Constitution that we all sign up to protect and defend. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, it requires the Senate to confirm any sort of agreement, any treaty. And so I think that was completely within his authority. And the fact that both the Iranians took exception to that, the fact that we have this process and policy, and the president didn't back up our senator stating the facts, is indicative of the fact that the White House is not in any way interested in following the law. They are simply wanting this agreement. And again, I'll say this for the audience, since Chris, you and I speak directly about this sort of thing. Any other president would be considered for impeachment right now had this sort of thing been done by any other president. This president has been given so many buys, so many passes by everybody. He now thinks he can act with impunity, to include essentially, throwing nonsense in the face of senators who are actually trying to do their job.
And yeah, and that's senators from both sides of the political aisle, too. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is my guest right now, CIA trained, and he is with the London Center for Policy Research and the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. I'm going to play a clip for you. It's a little lengthy. It's about 60 seconds long. But this is the Obama administration being asked about American hostages, and there's a reason why James Rosen of the Fox News Channel is asking about this. We'll play the clip, and I'll get your reaction to it here, Tony. Hold on a second. Listen.
Josh, with respect to the individuals who are being held in Iran, is it the view of the Obama administration that these individuals are, in fact, being held against their will?
It is our view that these citizens that we've talked about, these three citizens, are individuals who are being unjustly detained in Iran. We believe that they should be released. And as American citizens, we believe that they should be returned back to the United States, where they can be reunited with their families.
Since we've just established that the Obama administration regards that these individuals are being held unjustly against their will, is it the view of President Obama and his national security team that these individuals being held against their will in Iran are, in fact, hostages?
Well, I don't know if there's a special legal determination that goes along with that particular word.
So here is the Obama. Here is the Obama White House parsing the dictionary. With American citizens being held hostage, yes, in Iran. James Rosen was going here. Look, how can you negotiate in good faith with a country who holds your citizens as hostages. And it's a fairly, and notice that the Obama White House was, it just shows you the level, the extent they will go to get this deal, to where they will deal with a country that is so anti-American, a declared enemy of us, and holding our citizens, and Team Obama just doesn't give a damn.
All right, and shout out to James. James is a friend of mine, and he does a great job in this sort of thing. And yes, he asked the questions the correct, polite way, and he got a complete nonsensical answer. Of course, there's only two categories of individual. Either you're a criminal and you're being held because of criminal activities, or you're essentially a hostage. The third category would be if we're at war and you're a prisoner of war, but that's clearly, at least as my understanding, not the case. So it is unbelievable that we have a government that's so irresponsible to not protect its own citizens. And Chris, what's even more fantastical here is that, as you mentioned, they are a state sponsor of terror. Hezbollah is completely supported by the Iranians. The IRGC, the Iranian Republican Guards, use terror as a routine method of insinuating the Iranian influence all over the world, and yet we're willing to look the other way. And what's most troubling is that we have lost soldiers to the Iranians' bad actions. They gave the rebels in Iraq shaped charges to use against our military hardware, killing U.S. soldiers. Yep. And I was up against them in Afghanistan. They were actually funding the insurgency I was fighting in 03. So in my judgment, it is completely unconscionable for this White House to be looking the other way when you know for a fact that the Iranians are out to do harm to us and our allies.
Yeah, and not only that, the administration is seeking to relieve, and has already relieved. I mean, that's the whole fallacy of this whole thing, this nuke deal. The Obama administration has already ushered billions of dollars back into the Iranian economy by relaxing sanctions.
Right.
So here is the Obama White House giving money and material support, allowing material support to flow back into a country that holds its citizens hostages, American citizens hostage. It's, as you said, unconscionable. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained. He's with the London Center for Policy Research and the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. Always a pleasure speaking with you, sir. Thank you for the service to the country, and we'll talk to you again.
Sure.
All right. More to come. Other side of the break. Stick with me. It's the Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
The Chris Salcedo Show. On The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo
is on the Blaze Radio Network.
When you see in the papers that official unemployment is 5.8%, I trust that you will understand that that is different than real unemployment. All right? Real unemployment government figures include those people who have given up looking for work and those people who are working part-time when they want to work full-time. If you add those numbers together, what the government statistics tell you is that real unemployment in America is over 11%. Youth unemployment, which we never talk about, is 18%. African American youth unemployment, close to 30%.
That there is the socialist senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, who declared his seeking for the White House, the Democrat nomination for president, going up against Hillary Clinton this week. Snowball's chance in hell he's going to make it. But, and here's the big but, he just told the truth. you guys know Liberal Fred. He is one of the guys who's on the website a lot, the Chris Salcedo Show on the Facebook page. Calls in every once in a while here. Calls my show in Houston quite frequently. All the folks in the audience know Liberal Fred in Houston. He is supporting Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. Why? Because the left wing can't stand Hillary Clinton. Join the club. Join the club. The new AP poll out right now. The majority of the country doubt Mrs. Clinton's honesty about her emails. Doubt. Yeah. No. And that's a kind way for the Associated Press of saying everybody believes she's a stinking liar. And she is. It's a complete lie. Nobody believes her. And that's the problem. So here comes Bernie Sanders, the socialist senator from Vermont, self-avowed socialist senator from Vermont, telling the truth, something that we conservatives, I on this program, have been shouting to the rooftops at the top of my lungs that the unemployment situation is not getting any better. That the reason why the unemployment rate is dropping is by virtue of folks leaving the workforce, not from folks finding jobs. We've talked about median income. We've talked about everything has just grown crappier in the era of Obama. And everybody knows it. Poll after poll after poll shows the American people aren't feeling this wonderful recovery. And then, of course, we get the data this week about the first quarter GDP at 0.2%. Not 2.2. 0.2%. And a remarkable accomplishment for Barack Obama. You would have to be a complete leftist moron to empower government so much to stifle the free enterprise system in America. When economic situation shows us with cheap energy and a population just ready to burst and start becoming productive again, you would have to be Stalin-esque in your empowerment of government to keep that engine under wraps as Barack Obama has done. So it's a hell of an accomplishment. Not many people could do it. Not many people could work so diligently against the interests of the American people as Barack Obama has and his extremist leftists have. Now, let me state for the record, before you start thinking, is Salcedo singing Bernie Sanders praises? No. Even though he's telling the truth there, what I didn't play for you, and I'm not going to play for you because I want to subject you to it, is his solution, which is a bunch of left-wing crap, which has been proven throughout history to not work. He basically says, well, here's the real unemployment rate, but I want to continue to do what Obama's doing on steroids. Single payer, all this other garbage. Government-centered control over the economy. It's sheer lunacy. His prescription has never worked throughout human history, but that's what he's proposing. But he is telling the truth about the current state of the Obama economy. All right, we have more to come. We'll get to Baltimore, I promise, on the Salcedo Show. Don't go anywhere.
888-900-3393.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
For the Salcedo Show. Happy you've made it. Oh, I love this. Go ahead, crank that up, Brittany. Just don't. There, yes. I love this. If you were with us last week, you know I'm teasing Brittany. That's a beautiful sound right there, don't you think? Come on. The Salcedo Show theme, I've grown quite fond of it since September of 2013. That is when this show started. And for those of you who didn't tune in last week, Brittany and I were, well, Brittany, banging our heads up against the wall trying to figure out, there was another bed that was similar, but different.
I don't know how that got in there, by the way.
I know you don't. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying that's the one, baby. That's the one right there. Welcome to the program, everybody. Telephone number is 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393, the Broad Voice studio line. Chris Salcedo Show, getting in touch with us pretty darn easy. If you don't want to pick up the phone, you just want to let your fingers do the walking, go to Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, as in Texas, or on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. Tons of stuff on there. You're going to have to scroll down because, you know, I post all week long for the Houston show. You're going to find a lot of stuff on Baltimore. You're going to find tons of stuff on Baltimore. Just make sure you scroll down, have a look-see. Before I get away from this, I'm scrolling down myself as you and I are speaking. Did you hear what Michael Moore's big idea was? Michael Moore had a couple of demands. And, you know, probably me talking about him on the program, as I did in Houston and here, will probably get him more attention than he gets through his normal channels. But sometimes you have to shine sunlight on these people and how they think. Now, he is, of course, reacting to Baltimore. And he has some demands. Michael Moore has some... Michael Moore has some demands, folks. His first demand, I want every African-American currently incarcerated for drug crimes or nonviolent offenses released from prison today. How come every African-American? What about white people or Hispanics who are incarcerated for drug crimes or nonviolent offenses? Why is Michael Moore, the extremist leftist, the paragon of what it means to be a liberal in America? Why is he anti-Hispanic and anti-white? I'm just asking. It's a fair question. I demand every African-American currently incarcerated for drug crimes or nonviolent offenses released from prison today. Why is he singling out blacks? Why doesn't he think Hispanics are worthy to being released? What about whites? They're not worthy. They deserve to rot in jail for what he is contending is illegitimate circumstances. He has another demand. His next demand is disarm the cops. Here's the quote. This is from Twitter. Disarm the police. We have a quarter billion Second Amendment guns in our homes for protection. We'll survive till the right cops are hired. This is, of course, a Blaze story that I picked up and I could not resist. Many of you have already found it. Nearly 10,000 of you have shared it. But this is hilarious. Disarm the cops because you have allegations, and I have to stress this, allegations of wrongdoing against six police officers in Baltimore, a left-wing city. That means the entire police force all over the country. Well, what about Michael Brown? Yeah, Michael Brown. The officer was exonerated. Officer Darren Wilson exonerated. In New York, South Carolina, I think there are some legitimate beefs with Gardner and I forget the name of the officer who was caught on videotape just gunning down a person who didn't deserve to be gunned down, who was clearly running away. Those were incidents where those police officers needed to be brought to account. But this whole idea of lumping an entire profession, police officers, an honorable profession, where they get shot at and put their lives on the line to serve the public every single day. You are high if you think that the ranks of police officials are immune to this, well, bad apple in every bunch, right? You've got bad apples everywhere. Michael Moore, prime example. In the film industry, you've got bad apples. Michael Moore, you are the poster child for what I'm talking about. You are one of the worst who advocate all these left-wing policies and don't live them yourself. Michael Moore, do your employees get paid union wages? Do they get paid scale? I don't think so. But at any rate. So check that out. That is the latest offering, if you will, from Michael Moore. The embarrassed child whose mom was slapping him upside the head when she found out that he was out there protesting with the thugs. And yes, they are thugs, MSNBS. Do you guys know that the Baltimore mayor apologized for calling them thugs? Apologized for their behavior, or for her behavior, calling, as she put it, and I'll play the soundbite later for you. Our children. Oh, I am going to go off on this. I promise you I will. There was this week. I don't know if you caught this. But this, again, in our effort to focus on more things that that Brian Williams Press will focus on, things that you may have missed while you watched another liberal city burn. Here is the man who said Mitt Romney had not paid any taxes, did so from the Senate floor, who discredited and not discredited, what's the word I'm looking for? Who soiled the institution of the Senate. His name, of course, is Senator Harry Reid from Searchlight, Nevada. Now, this is the same man who said that Mitt Romney did not pay any taxes for 10 years. It was completely untrue. It was proven false. When asked about it after he announced his retirement by, I think it was CNN who asked him, he said, well, no, I don't regret lying because Mitt Romney didn't win, did he? Here is that same man making commentary on the Republican budget.
The budget is just wrong. It's also dishonest. It claims to be balanced. There is no balance in this budget. That's a word. The budget is no more balanced than the earthquakes they've had in Nepal.
Okay. Number one. To Harry Reid and his staff, and for all of you out here who may have connections or feel free to isolate this section of the Salcedo Show and send it to them. I want to speak directly to Harry Reid and those of his staff that can get this message to him. Look, why on God's green earth would anybody take you seriously anymore? Really, if you would be willing to lie about one of your fellow Americans, somebody who is running for president of the United States, just to advance your own political narrative, how can we ever trust you again? I mean, everything you just said right there, it may be true. And then again, we have no way of knowing that or even subscribing to any bit of credibility as far as you're concerned, because you're a proven liar. Because you don't tell the truth, and you admitted to us why you don't tell the truth was for political advantage. So how are we to take you at face value? Here you are once again railing on Republicans and putting out a whole bunch of data that you could very well be lying about again, and most likely are lying about, because that's what you do, Harry Reid. Your entire career has been a lie. Your entire life on this planet is a lie. You belong to a political party that exists and perpetuates itself based on lies or half truths. And you know what? It's over, pal. You might as well resign from the Senate now. I mean, yeah, you can throw a monkey wrench into the United States of America all you want. And I'm sure that you will make that as part of your plan to give a parting gift to the American people who now know what you're all about. To make we suffer as you have enriched yourself on our backs, lo, these many years, with your corrupt dealings. I just have to say this. Anything that comes out of Harry Reid's mouth, it is safe for the American people to assume is a flat-out lie. He can't be taken seriously anymore. Harry Reid, you are a waste, sir. You have zero credibility left. You are not at all useful. You are a useless individual to the country. Go do something else, because of here he is again. Listen,
the budget is just wrong. It's also dishonest. It claims to be balanced. There is no balance in this budget. That's a word. The budget is no more balanced than the earthquakes they've had in Nepal.
And in typical liberal fashion, utilizing the deaths of thousands to make your political point. Just when you thought Harry Reid couldn't get any lower, the leader of the Democrats in the United States Senate, Harry Reid, just when you think he couldn't get any lower, he refers to a tragedy, a tremendous loss of human life to score political points. Again, Harry Reid, you are a waste in every sense of the word. Stick with me, folks. It's the Salcedo Show. Back in a minute.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, the Blaze Radio Network. Salcedo Show.
All right, welcome back. Want to get out to some phone calls here. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Going down to the home base in Houston where the Desmond, this is a guy who calls into the program quite frequently on the local show, folks, and he is one of the few on that show anyway who actually the only one who has his own theme song when he calls. It's the James Bond theme, and when he speaks, you're going to hear why. Hey, Desmond, welcome to the national show, buddy.
Good afternoon, young man.
He is from jolly old England, folks. So that is where Desmond used to call home. He's now solidly here in the United States of America. What's on your mind today, sir?
Well, Michael Moore first, you know, that useless lump of blubber. What the first thing we need to do is to remove the guns from his bodyguards.
Mm-hmm. I completely concur. You know, live how you want us all to live. Liberals, you go first. As a matter of fact, you know what, Desmond? The guy who's becoming my favorite sheriff, who has supplanted Joe Arpaio, is still a good guy. But Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee got into a bit of a Twitter war with Mr. Moore, basically saying that he supports Michael Moore's proposal to disarm the cops. And he wants to start a trial program with this right in Michael Moore's neighborhood.
That would be good.
Yeah, and wants to do a catch and release program, basically release all of the individuals that Mr. Moore is advocating that we release right into Michael Moore's neighborhood.
Yeah, and then we take a flensing knife to him. So that we can slim him down so he'll live longer and we can hear his asinine comments for a long time.
There you go.
And then moving on to Harry Reid, who is, as you said, is a disgusting little individual.
Indeed.
As you say, he truly is a waste of skin. There never will be a balanced budget. These people don't know how to do it. You know, special cases, black ops, things like that. All they've got to do, if they are serious, is to get rid of the... balance, you know, what do they call it? Balance budget. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm having another senior moment.
No, no. So,
you know, where they start the budget at exactly the same place as
baseline. Yeah, baseline budgeting as opposed
baseline
to zero
budgeting.
Yeah, baseline budgeting. Yeah.
Yeah, if they start doing that, then they'll be too serious. If they actually cut the budget, then we'll know they're serious. If they actually took one penny from every department, that would show they are serious. In the meantime, it's the usual waffle.
No, it's true. Baseline budgeting is where we have a problem, because you start out the next year at where you were the previous year, instead of this agency having to coming back to the table and justifying what they had last year. Then all these automatic increases start kicking in. That's where we have to stop. There must be a yearly evaluation of the government. And then you're going to hear these people, Desmond, these elected officials whining, well, the government's too big. You're damned right it's too big. That's why they won't have the conversation, because these individuals are going to have to admit to us sooner or later that this government has become so big and so unwieldy that they can't manage it. And that's the admission, and particularly the progressives, and again, of both political parties, that's the admission they don't want to make.
Yeah, well, maybe if we offer them bonuses for reducing their budget, that might work, you know, self-preservation and all the rest.
No, they make far too much money skimming off the top out of government as it is. But it's a good thought, Desmond.
Yeah, on that thing which we're working on, with someone we both,
That thing, folks. There is a huge battle in the state of Texas. All of you folks in liberal states, let me warn you right now, you are going to be a little jealous about what Desmond and I are about to talk about, because here in Texas, we are having a battle as to how much to cut the people's taxes. You've got Republicans on Republicans saying, advocating tax reductions, and it's just a fight over how much it will be. So for all of you folks in liberal states where your liberal legislators are fighting on how much to increase your tax burden, just hold on, and maybe you might want to think about relocating. But go ahead, Desmond, on that topic.
Yeah, the problem is the House, people are saying, why isn't the House cutting property taxes? Well, the House doesn't cut property taxes. It doesn't assess buildings. It doesn't spend the money. So this is, quote, as a, in a horrible expression, bad optics.
And well, I'm maybe.
And I'm working with someone in the Lidge, and this person has told me that she's thinking of doing a mass email. She's doing a doing a Facebook, and I've told her to write to the Chronicle and Lisa Falkenberg. Yeah. And I said, you know, get out there because you're being blamed for something which you have absolutely no control over. Just
well, see, hold on, hold on. And Desmond, I don't want to surrender that premise. We hire people, whether it's to national office or to our state house, to change things. If the system is broken, who has the ability to change the system? The elected leaders of the people. You know, folks, I can tell you what the problem is here in the state of Texas with property taxes. I mean, they're out of control. And, you know, I'm saying this on the national show, and that fact that continues to get out into the ethos, that is going to be a problem for Texas's competitiveness. But it is a problem because people come to this state and they are very leery about the amount of property taxes that they are paying, and it's earned. And Desmond, what I would submit to you and to individuals you're working with in the state house and inside of Austin is that we send these elected leaders up there to fix problems. They are not powerless. They can change the system, and that's what they're there to do. Now, whether you have the political will to do that is another question. But this whole idea that these people up in Austin or in the nation's capital, hey, it's this whole idea of mandatory spending that, as you know, drives me up a freaking wall. You are an elected official. There's no such thing as mandatory spending. If it's mandatory and it needs to be brought down, you do the work and you make it mandatory to cut it. You're an elected leader. You're the only one that has the ability to do that. And what you're seeing, I have a feeling, Desmond, in the state of Texas, is a lack of political will and political courage to do what needs to be done.
Well, what needs to be done is to cut the power of the appraisal districts. Because
hey, Desmond, I got a scoot. I got the music playing already. I will talk to you more about this in Houston on Monday. Thanks for the call, buddy. Stick around, folks. AMI coming up next.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
You know, one more thing on this. Oh, by the way, welcome back, everybody. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. Jump on to Twitter, if you will, at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, as in Texas. And make sure you jump on there. We're waiting for our guest here, folks, and it looks like we may have a wrong phone number that was given for the guest, and I'm going to try to send the phone number to our crack staff. So if you'll pardon me doing a couple of things at once as I'm trying to type in Brittany's email and send her the correct phone number. Should be in your email box here in a second, kid. All right. And then you'll be, maybe I sent you the wrong one. We're waiting for Richard Miniter, folks of AMI, to come in and give us the results of an investigation. I wanted to get these folks in more often and partner with the Salcedo Show so we can get some of these investigative pieces that the mainstream press has checked out on. You know, the Brian Williams press will not do these while there's a Democrat administration in office because they feel there's no need. You know, because Democrats are as pure as the wind-driven snow, and that means that the Brian Williams press gets to sleep for the last 6.5-7 years and until the end of the Obama occupation of the Oval Office. Some housekeeping here. We are very close to breaking some records on Facebook, to breaking some records, milestones, if you will, on Twitter. So at Chris Salcedo TX, head there and make sure you follow. head to the Facebook page, The Chris Salcedo Show, and like that page. And tell some folks and friends of yours to do that and help us break some milestones here. Also, programming note, if you were around for the debut of America WK with Andrew WK today, the latest talk show host, Rocker actually turned talk show host today. There were some technical issues with his program. And you got some repetitiveness there, as I understand it. It will re-air right here on the Blaze Radio Network, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock this evening, Eastern, right here on the Blaze. So I want you to make sure that you tune in for that. Again, America WK with Andrew WK. All right, without further ado, we have our guest lined up because probably it was bad host putting the wrong information into the contact information. But Richard Miniter is here, president of the American Media Institute. Miniter has been published in sources like, you know, the New York Times, Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, National Review. The list goes on. He's also an author, Leading from Behind, an examination of President Obama's six key foreign policy decisions. And check out his new book, Eyes on Target. It talks about the history and brotherhood of the Navy SEALs, why the Obama administration wants to change that culture to become more politically correct. Richard, glad you've made it back.
Hey, great to be back with you.
All right, now, I just told the folks that you and I we're partnering up because of the investigative prowess that AMI brings to the table here with the Chris Salcedo Show, and we want to feature and bring to light, not only here, but also on the Houston Show, stuff that you guys uncover. The stimulus package has long been forgotten by the mainstream press, if it was ever covered by the Brian Williams press. Now, for those of you who don't know, this was nearly a trillion-dollar stimulus package, waste of money, basically, a payoff to crony capitalists and Obama campaign supporters with your money. And the damage continues, even though the Brian Williams press is not telling you about it. Another expensive stimulus project is on the rocks. So, Richard, tell us what this is.
Well, it's a story we just published in the Orange County Register. We took a look at the emergency communication system in the city of Los Angeles, America's second largest city. And you think, okay, emergency communications, that makes perfect sense after 9/11, why the cops and the firemen and the ambulance people and the tow truck people and the utilities people should all be able to talk together. It's one of the lessons of the 9/11 commission. So the stimulus package gave hundreds of millions of dollars to the city of Los Angeles and to 87 other surrounding cities. And after spending upwards of $500 million, they still don't have a working system. It's all been absorbed by consultants, lawyers who are suing, contract fights, union fights, in which suddenly the L.A. Fire Department decided that the cell phone signals were going to give all the firemen cancer. Of course, it was a phony scam, but it was designed to help them with their contract negotiations with the city of Los Angeles. So everything that's dysfunctional about Southern California, the incredible environmental regulations, which also led to lawsuits against the emergency system, unions, regulation, taxes, the slow-going bureaucracy, all of these things conspired together with the stimulus funds to make a giant waste of taxpayer dollars. I mean, upwards of $500 million has gone up in smoke with nothing to show for it.
Good grief. And so this so-called system, which is supposed to help our emergency responders communicate, that's not happening. It's not even close to being done.
No, they're blowing past all the federal deadlines. Remember, this communication system is a matter of life and death for police and firemen. If you have a fireman trapped in a burning building or a policeman trying to locate a lost child somewhere in a crime zone, they need to be able to communicate not just with their colleagues, but with other agencies as well. And without this system up and running, it means that people are literally going to die. Some of them are going to be police and firemen. Some of them are going to be ordinary civilians that they otherwise could have saved. And while they're putting the public at risk and burning up a tremendous amount of money, of course, there are various constituencies that have made their money. The crony capitalists have made their money, including Motorola and Raytheon and the other defense contractors. Of course, the lawyers have made their money. I mean, when the first contract was awarded to Raytheon in 2009, Boeing, you know, hired a bunch of, not Boeing, sorry, Motorola, hired a bunch of lawyers, and that went to court for years. Of course, the lawyers all got paid. Everyone got paid except for the taxpayers who wanted the life-saving communication system, which is still not up and running and probably years away if it's ever completed.
Richard Miniter, my guest right now. He is the president of the American Media Institute, and very happy to have him now as a partner with the Chris Salcedo Show, bringing you information the Brian Williams Press refuses to talk about. Folks, this is something called the L.A. Ricks system, or the La Ricks system, that is being funded by stimulus money. Remember, stimulus money being classified as shovel ready, meaning it was ready to go. And Obama, that now infamous soundbite of him saying, well, shovel ready wasn't as shovel ready as we had thought. So we're talking to the tune of nearly $5 billion of tax money, $4.7 billion of taxpayer money put toward this particular type of initiative. And let me ask you this. We've already established that lawyers have gotten paid, Richard, and we know that the lawyers are constituents of the Democrat Party nearly exclusively. Have you been able to trace back money, either Motorola or these other companies who were involved in all of this, and showed where their campaign donations went as far as who they supported in the general election?
Well, certainly Motorola gives a fair amount of money to incumbent politicians, mostly Democrats in the city and county of Los Angeles. But we haven't really looked into the connection between campaign contributions and payoffs in terms of government contracts. But certainly Motorola, which is responsible for about 80% nationwide of the phone, the radio communication systems for police and fire, they enjoy an 80% monopoly. And either that means they're really, really good, or it means they're really politically connected. And what we did document is how many former police commissioners, former fire chiefs they put on the payroll, including the current police commissioner of the city of New York used to be on the payroll for Motorola. And, of course, New York is now using Motorola equipment.
Of course. And you know what? And this just stinks to high heaven, just like the Obamacare legislation, which, again, was filled with a lot of payoffs. And the traitorous insurance companies, they are the ones that are making money hand over fist. And they're pledging to fight any efforts to get rid of Obamacare. Why? Because it's not even fair to say they're making money. They have been gifted the American people's taxpayer money. Compelled by the force of the butt of a gun of government, you will buy health insurance, and the insurance companies are raking in that money, and they don't want to give it up. And I would imagine that Motorola is seeing something similar, padding their pockets, yes?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Chris, there are really two kinds of entrepreneurs in America today. One is the economic entrepreneur. This is someone who comes up with a new idea or a new service, creates a business using private capital, and investors, neighbors, even his credit cards, and goes out and risks it all and builds a business that either succeeds or fails. The other kind of entrepreneur is what I call the political entrepreneur. And this is the guy who's connected to somebody on the inside, you know, for whom he thinks about politics the way the mafia acts. You know, insiders make special deals, write fine print into laws that no one reads, but it benefits them. And the political entrepreneurs are the people who the technology they offer might be out of date. It might not even work. But the firemen, the police, the soldiers, because a lot of these are military contractors as well, they have to make do with substandard equipment, which might even put their health or safety at risk. But the insiders make their money.
Yeah.
And when you have too many political entrepreneurs, countries die. When there are too many insiders ripping off the system, countries die. And it's really a matter of American survival that we clear out these corrupt insiders and their payoffs.
Amen to that. Political entrepreneurs called by Richard Miniter, I call them lazy crony capitalists who don't want to earn their money anymore. They just want to shyster their way into a whole bunch of money. Richard Miniter, president of the American Media Institute, so glad to have you on board here and working with the Chris Salcedo Show to bring us these types of stories. I look forward to a long and fruitful relationship, man. And we're going to get you on in Houston as well so you can spread the word down that way of how the Obama government is treating our taxpayer money, which is, of course, not well at all. Have a great Saturday, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. More on the other side of the break, folks. We got the Constitution Revolution with Chad Kent coming up here on the Salcedo Show. Don't go anywhere.
He is a liberty-loving Latino conservative. Need we say more? The Chris Salcedo Show. Only on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Let's move it along. I got you.
Listen, even the best writers, usually it's not that good the first time they write it.
Yeah, and I think you sort of covered everything about that question.
Okay, you think I just kind of... Usman thinks I've been talking too long.
No, I think you just...
No, well, let's move it along. I got you.
How does wisdom come at such a young age? That's President Obama being interviewed by a kid. That's his speed nowadays. Even the kid has it over the Brian Williams press and is recognizes a stall when he hears it and says, okay, let's move along. Beautiful. If only the Brian Williams press had such courage to not stand up to Mr. Obama or to not deal with Mr. Obama's long, droning answers designed to run out the clock. And if only the Brian Williams press would insist on an actual answer every now and again. Are you going to answer the question or not, Mr. President? They should say. I would call him Resident Obama. You going to answer it or not? And if you know what? If Obama can interview kids or be interviewed by kids, why can't he come on this show? I mean, seriously. That's right. I might ask tough questions and insist on some answers. And I guess the occupier of the Oval Office was a little taken aback by the insistence that he not be allowed to drone on and on and on. All right. Somebody you never get tired of hearing from is our very own Chad Kent. He is, of course, the author of The Constitution Revolution, and the author of Uncomplicating the Constitution, one in book form and one in audio form that you hear every Saturday here on the Salcedo Show and also the Salcedo Show in Houston. Chad is here with a continuing look at our founding document, walking us through, if you will, the founding document, a document that was meant to be understood and simple by we the people. Here's Chad.
Article 1, Section 2 basically lays out a few details about the House of Representatives. But even though it's simple and not controversial, there is a lot we can learn from this clause if we understand why it says what it says. To see an example of that, let's take a look at the qualifications for becoming a member of the House of Representatives. Before anybody can become a representative, they have to be at least 25 years old, be a citizen for at least 7 years, and be an inhabitant of the state in which they're elected. The founders felt that you had to be at least 25 years old because you have to have some life experience under your belt before you're able to go out and start making decisions for the rest of society. You have to experience life as a regular citizen before you're capable of being a representative of the people's interests. But what do we do today? We routinely elect people who have never held a position outside of the government. These people are career politicians who have no idea what it's like to be a regular citizen. Our representatives also have to be a citizen for at least 7 years. One of the reasons for that is, if an immigrant chooses to run for Congress, we want to make sure that that person has had plenty of time to learn the American culture, our traditions, and our system of government. Now that makes perfect sense. But as voters today, we are constantly electing people who have no understanding of American history and who aren't familiar with any culture outside of the Beltway of Washington, D.C. Then, after we ignore these lessons from the founders, and we elect people who are nothing like us, we turn around and we wonder why nobody is truly representing our voice in Washington, D.C. If you enjoyed this segment, be sure to check out my article on this topic today in the contributor section at theblaze.com. That's the Constitution Revolution, and I am Chad Kent for the Chris Salcedo Show.
Brilliant as always. I particularly enjoyed where he said, we wonder why we don't have representative government when we continue to elect these shrubs who don't even know what it's like to live in the United States of America outside the elected class, outside the billionaire class, if I can borrow something from the liberal playbook. All right, back in a minute. Hour 3 of the Salcedo Show coming up.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events,
pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hour three is underway. Glad you've made it to the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network. Dial us up, will you? 888-900-3393. That is the Broad Voice studio line. 888-900-3393. Can also reach out on Facebook, The Chris Salcedo Show, on Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX. Out of the phone lines right off the bat here in the third hour, to Mary Ramirez, contributor to The Salcedo Show, writes on the contributor section of The Blaze. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great, Chris. You know, this is the first Saturday in about a million years we haven't had frost on the ground in Minnesota.
So you know, great. It's that global warming thing. It's a bit of a problem. Here we are in May officially, and you are now just getting out of winter, even though it's been spring for an awful long time. The man-made global warming issue continues to heat up. No pun intended. Right. So what's happening in your world?
Well, you know, Chris, you and I and everyone else is very familiar with the president's executive inaction on immigration.
Yes.
And with that, he created something called a task force on new Americans. And they've just come out with a 70-page plan that they've sent to the president. And I'm sitting there reading it this week, and I thought, you know, it's critical that not only all of us understand what's in this plan, but importantly that immigrants understand what's going on as well. So this week's piece, contribution to your show, is an open letter to them. To immigrants. At its core, the plan is about getting eligible green card holders to naturalize ASAP, and that's the important part. And at first pass, you know, naturalizing a green card holder isn't exactly a shocking premise, but what I'm asking immigrants in particular to consider is the haste with which the administration is pushing this. You know, and I point them to the article that I had up on your show last week, and that is that our politicians love to use any means to achieve their ends. I asked them to focus on the fact that their presence, for some of them at least, in this country, was based on a broken promise. That is, the president broke his oath to uphold the law in order to allow them to break the law to come here illegally. You know, so number one. And I asked him also to consider another demographic that the president and his party so often panders to, and that's the African-American community and how they fared under the first black presidency. And it's abysmal. Yet his party and he solidly have their vote because they've been successful in convincing them that the other party is racist and hateful. And they're doing the exact same thing with immigrants. And it's working today amongst voting Latinos. And now they're out to get even more of them eligible to vote. So my question is, why? For what? Because aside from breaking the law to help others break the law, what exactly has the president and his party done for the immigrant community? It certainly hasn't been to leave a legacy of a lawful, stronger, brighter future. So I'm asking them to consider, what if this is really just about getting their vote and absolutely nothing more?
Exactly.
So we'll see.
Well,
yeah.
I think your article is going to be crucial because you're asking them the question to examine what has the Democrat Party, the extremist liberal agenda, really done for you. If you look at it, the liberals and the Democrat agenda is so counter to the Latino work ethic, the Hispanic work ethic that has been present. As a matter of fact, the Democrat Party stands in stark contrast to that work ethic. And it's been a mission that I've been on for many years and asking those who are Hispanic. And as a matter of fact, you saw this come to fruition this week or late last week as Latinos showed up down in Austin in the state of Texas. And they were speaking in favor of SB 1252, which is a bill that would allow the state of Texas to basically pull their resources with other border states and stop illegal immigration and do what the federal government has neglected to do. And they made the statement. More than one of them said, look, the mainstream Brian Williams press doesn't want you to know that we're out here. Doesn't want you to understand that it is, and again, this is what I would encourage you too in the future writing to understand. There seems to be a growing consensus among the Latino community. The Democrat isn't the way to go. The Democrat, just like with the black community, is the road to ruin. And many blacks are waking up to that fact. And I think a lot of Hispanics are going, wait a minute. Let's see how.
Hang on just a second.
how the last minority group that went down this road, how'd they fare?
Exactly.
And I don't think Hispanics, by and large, want to have their kids underachieving, underemployed, and begging at the table of government for scraps. And I think a lot of them are starting to wake up to, oh my gosh, we don't want to be the black community in America.
Well, I sure hope so. And I really think my husband pointed this out. You know, my husband is an immigrant. He's a Latino. He pointed this out that this is what Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and frankly, anyone else who's running for president and speaking to Hispanics, because they're all running to be president, not only of the Hispanic community, but all Americans. What they need to be screaming from the hilltops is, look, guys, what did you leave your home countries? What did you leave your homelands to escape? Lawlessness, poverty, oppression, corruption. Would you please explain to me here, what are you seeing in this current administration that convinces you that it's going to be any different? And that's why I pointed to the fact that, you know, what's the last biggest thing the president did for the immigrant community? Help them break the law.
Exactly. You know, Patty Newman was on this program too. She was the one that had that open letter that pretty much said the same thing. Hey, look, well, you know, please examine your conscience and look at your role in ruining the country that you are aspiring so hard to become a part of.
Precisely.
All right. So the name of the article, Mary?
The name of the article is "Dear Immigrants, You're Being Taken for a Ride." And Chris, I'll keep you posted on this because we're all of us green card holders are supposed to get letters from USCIS. Now, I wonder whether or not my husband will get one because he is a liberty-loving Latino and they don't want his vote.
Interesting. All right, Mary Ramirez, everybody. Make sure you check the contributor section, blaze.com/contributor, and check for her latest article. Thank you, lady. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
You betcha. She mentioned Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz made some news this week with this comment.
President Obama, when he was elected, he could have been a unifying figure. He could have chosen to be a leader on race relations and bring us together. And he hasn't done that. He's made decisions that I think have inflamed racial tensions, that have divided us rather than bringing us together.
He's right. Have you seen, since the Civil Rights era, a time where Americans have been more at each other's throats over the issue of race? And that has come on purpose from Team Obama to stir the pot and to... Again, what Mary was touching base too on it was is this complete ignoring of the rule of law in an effort to make political points. In the case with, he did say he did condemn the thugs, in his words, the thugs on the streets of Baltimore who were burning 15 buildings, 144 cars, who were injuring police officers and injuring their fellow citizens. One journalist was bloodied about the head, courtesy of these thugs. And yes, MSNBS, I will use the term thugs. I resist your attempt to stifle my First Amendment ability to correctly identify what happened in Baltimore. MSNBS is the Brian Williams Network, formerly known as NBC. Alex Wagner and the leftists trying to restrict more language by claiming that the word thug, is the new N-word.
Usage of the word thug spiked on Monday, appearing in roughly 50,000 tweets. Today, Baltimore's mayor apologized for using the term, attributing her use of it to, quote, frustration. The word's ubiquity has this week led to reexamination of the origins of the word thug and a debate over its racial connotations.
We'll get to the origins of the word thug here in a minute, but let's review about who has been using the word thug. I already told you Barack Obama used it, and the White House, to their credit, did not take it back. But here is the leftist mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, this was her first comment that got her into a lot of trouble. This was her encouraging to basically giving space to those who were doing the damage as she was trying to keep the protesters first in her mind instead of protecting her citizens.
I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act because while we tried to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well.
So, yeah, her priority was to give the protesters space and thus put her people at risk. And I'm talking the citizens of Baltimore at risk because her stupid tactics gave an opening to the thugs. Mayor of Baltimore changed her tune when many people called her out on her stand down order. And yes, sources like CBS News, part of the Brian Williams Press, even reporting that this stand down order was given by the Baltimore mayor in an effort to protect the protesters. She put her own citizens, the law abiding citizens, at risk, because in that effort, she gave the anarchists, the thugs, an opening. But she changed her tune when she was called on it.
I'm a lifelong resident of Baltimore. And too many people have spent generations building up this city for it to be destroyed by thugs.
And then there's my favorite sheriff, Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, identifying the rioters, the arsonists, those partaking in assault and battery on their fellow citizens. He correctly identified them as well.
What rioting we saw go on last night over the last few days had nothing to do with Freddie Gray. These people did not know Freddie Gray. They never met Freddie Gray. They weren't at his funeral. And they had really had no concern. This was an exploited situation by these thugs, by these criminal, by the criminal element of Baltimore.
On the other side of the break, the origins of the word thugs and a complete repudiation of the Brian Williams Network's attempt to stifle American free speech and to prevent us from correctly identifying those who are putting the public safety at risk. Back in a minute.
The next generation of talk radio, the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
You're listening to the Latino conservative, Chris Salcedo, on the Blaze Radio Network.
I would like to say that I'm a perfect individual. I'll be perfect next year, maybe. I clearly made a mistake. I didn't want to care. I should not have characterized people's kids as thugs. It was. I'm sure you understand how intense and what a pressure cooker this week has been. And, you know, like I said, I certainly regret saying it.
That's Mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, apologizing for calling, as she put it, kids, thugs. These same kids who torched 15 buildings, set ablaze 144 cars, were responsible for throwing rocks and pieces of concrete, injuring 15 officers, bloodying their fellow citizens, even a journalist who was there just to document what was going on, and they decided to kick the crap out of him. And the mayor of Baltimore is apologizing to these thugs. Now, this is all in response to the Brian Williams Network, MSNBS, coming up with this narrative that the word thug is now the new N-word. They pointed to a CNN discussion. Erin Burnett is the anchor. Burnett is Erin Burnett. Yeah, that's how you pronounce her name. Anyway, she's having a discussion with an extremist left winger, an excuser of this violence, an excuser of the mayhem. And she is saying, well, what are you talking about? Of course thug is appropriate.
Isn't it the right word?
No, of course it's not the right word to call our children thugs.
Our children. Is by the virtue of the fact that they are your children and they happen to be under the age of 18, make their behavior any less destructive? So, a child walking around with a weapon, let's say a gun, killing people wantonly. Oh, don't call that thuggish behavior because it's a child. Seriously? We're going to let this idiot curtail our free speech, correctly identify. It's, you know what it reminds me of, folks? It reminds me of this whole illegal alien discussion. How the left wing wants to say, well, you can't call them illegal aliens. They're human beings, even though it's a legal term. They call them migrants. They drop the term. Yeah, a human being can't be illegal. It is their effort to steal the language in an effort to cloak their agenda. Words do matter. And let me say without reservation, these individuals who set Baltimore aflame, who did terrible deeds, were thugs. Let me also say, if the charges against these officers, and let me stress this, if the charges against these officers are proven to be true, they acted equally thuggish. Even more so because they were in a position of trust, of the public trust. But to sit there and say to us, you can't, this is not acceptable to call our children thugs, like hell it's not. More from this.
Oh, we don't have to call
them
thugs.
But how does that justify what they did? I mean, that's a sense of right from wrong. They know it's wrong to steal and burn down a CVS and an old person's home. I mean, come on.
Come on. So calling them thugs, just call them.
The bleep was for the N-word. Just call them N's. So, according to this extremist left-winger, I didn't even bother to learn his name. He's insane. He's clearly certifiably insane. This was the point of discussion from the Brian Williams Network, formerly known as NBC News, and Alex Wagner on her show, and here's where they went.
To the use of the word itself, Brittany, I mean, I think there are folks like CNN's Aaron Burnett who don't understand why it's offensive and why some people are saying the T word is the new N word. Mm-hmm. Give us your take.
Sure. It's rooted in a racialized understanding of black people. So,
no. Wrong. It's not rooted there. As a matter of fact, the word thug has its origins in India. 14th century India. A gang of criminals known as the Thuggee, T-H-U-G-G-E-E. These thugs were a huge criminal network that operated all around India's main roads. They would befriend travelers along the roads, gain the travelers' trust, and then murder them, usually by strangling them and then steal their stuff. Very violent. That is the genesis of the word thug. Despite what the morons over at the Brian Williams Network, MSNBS, will try to tell you in an effort to silence your speech. More from this.
For instance, no one is calling the police who put this kid in a van and snapped his spine and crushed his voice box thugs, right?
Because we don't know yet, you buffoon. We don't know yet, you idiot. They get their day in court, not just because you say so. More.
They're only applying it to acts of violence against property.
Not true. Not true. Yes, the burning of buildings, the burning of cars. How about the injuring of police officers and their fellow citizens? How about the looting, the stealing, the theft, equally thuggish behavior? You twit.
Right. Acts of harassment, sure, acts of anger. But when are we going to have a language to talk about the systemic violence that white folks do in the name of anti-blackness and white supremacy in this?
What? We don't have a name for it because it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Only in your little mind does it exist.
Country. We don't have a language for that. So this becomes a way for there to be a procession of both white people in the media who are unsympathetic and also these sort of respectable middle class or upper class black people who are saying we want to maintain law and order. We want to make a distinction between us and the criminals and the thugs, the lower elements of black people. We don't want to be associated with them.
Okay, so according to this Brittany idiot on MSNBS, all of you who are black in America who are part of the, you know, who are poor, you are all part of this class that we all regard as thugs. You're all lawbreakers, according to MSNBS, because it's people like Obama and the Baltimore mayor who refer to you as thugs because they want to separate from the rabble. And it's not true. More on this in a minute.
The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo Show. Conservative Talk Radio with Spice.
Telephone number here, 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393 for the Broadway studio line of the Chris Salcedo Show. I want to talk about the legal aspect of what is facing these police officers now in the Freddie Gray case. For those of you who don't know, we hadn't talked much about this on the program because there was a lot we didn't know about the circumstances behind Freddie Gray's death. It seems, according to the prosecutor in Baltimore, that this guy died, if she is to believe, because police were negligent. And because they were negligent, not strapping him in, giving them the quote-unquote rough ride, having him handcuffed and being jostled around the paddy wagon, inside the paddy wagon, over several blocks, it was enough to kill him. And they didn't render aid. I want to talk about this with a brand new guest on the Salcedo Show. His name is Rick DeToto, a former prosecutor turned defense attorney with a ton of courtroom experience from minor cases all the way up to capital murder. He practices law in Houston, Texas. Rick, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
Thank you, sir. My pleasure.
Let's talk about, let me give you a response now after the prosecutor came out and basically laid everything out there on these six officers who are now charged. The Police Officers Union said through a lawyer that they hired to represent these folks, "We believe that these officers will be vindicated as they have done nothing wrong," said Michael Davey, a lawyer working for the city's Fraternal Order of Police. "I have never seen such a hurried rush to file criminal charges," he said, appearing to suggest that the prosecutors had been rushed into acting by pressure from the week's demonstrations and, of course, the violence and the looting from thugs that had ensued. So as a former courtroom prosecutor turned defense attorney, what is your take? Because you're able to see this from both sides.
Well, as a defense attorney, that's a pretty typical statement. That's exactly what I would say if I was defending those officers. It's a way to spin what's going on and take the heat off the officers that are now charged. As a prosecutor, I think it's a great move. It shows that she's not going to show deference to the law enforcement. I think typically prosecutors generally show deference to law enforcement and give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think this district attorney said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and file charges so we can get some calm in the community. And based on the evidence that she thinks she has, she could file charges.
Yeah, Marilyn Mosby is her name. She is Maryland State Prosecutor. And she's an interesting individual because her family, as a matter of fact, she has a long history of law enforcement in her family. In fact, her grandfather, she's been very proud to say, was one of the first black officers in the force. And so she has a little bit of credibility on that side that maybe she is not filing frivolous charges here. Still, there are a lot of folks who have observed that they are a little shocked at how quickly this stuff turned around and charges were filed. From what I heard described in that press conference, there wasn't a lot of evidence provided, and there seemed to be some very serious charges. But again, do you think that the just by your read on this, that she was pressured because of what had been going on in the city the prior week?
Yes, sir. I think irrespective of her family line and the police force, I think this was straight up a PR move. I agree with you in that. I didn't hear a lot of evidence for some of these more serious charges, specifically the Braveheart murder against the officer driving the vehicle. Sometimes prosecutors are put in a position where they have to get charges filed and they may overcharge it. Again, there's nothing that I've heard that would substantiate that charge in the evidence, and I don't think she would hold anything back at this point. I think she would want to put everything forward. So I don't know if from that serious charge if they're going to be able to get a conviction on that.
Rick DeToto is my guest. He's a former prosecutor turned defense attorney, a lot of courtroom experience, and it's very interesting what you just said because it's not the first time I've heard somebody make that type of analysis about what's going on here, and it really leads one to believe that, okay, here are these six officers, and it looks like they are going to be put up on charges on trial just to quell riots that the liberals in that city don't seem to want to be able to do. And it seems that these guys might be made sacrificial lambs. Is that your read?
Well, I think something happened here, and I think something wrong happened here, but I don't know exactly what happened.
Sure.
You know, maybe this prosecutor should have taken her time and reviewed the facts, but maybe there was just so much pressure as far as what's going on in our city to file the charges. I think that some charges should have been filed, and I think some are appropriate. I'm just concerned with the overcharging and the murder charge and possibly the involuntary manslaughter. Again, she hasn't, you know, presented anything that I've heard in her probable cause affidavit. And if I'm the elected prosecutor down there and I'm putting forth this case, I'm going to put everything I have in that affidavit to make sure that everyone knows what I'm basing my decision on.
Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, he is a Democrat, folks, and he is quickly becoming one of my favorite law enforcement officials around the country. He was quick to point out that he believes that the Duke LaCrosse, he made a comparison between what's going on between these officers and the Duke LaCrosse case, which, of course, was a complete fallacy. And I don't know if I want to go and say that there's no there here. I mean, but I think I'm kind of with you, Rick. Something happened. We just don't know which. And the most serious charges seem to be an effort to give the looters and the rioters and the protesters something they want to hopefully restore come. Is this what might be playing out before our eyes?
I think it's a combination of all those factors. And what you got to understand, I've handled a couple high-profile cases. They kind of take a life of their own that has really nothing to do with the facts of the case or anything. Mm. There's so much pressure on the defense lawyers, the prosecutors, the law enforcement there that it's just not a typical case that goes through the criminal justice system. Things get out of control. And it turns into something that's really not related to the facts of the case. But, you know, prosecutors make decisions to file charges based on the evidence they have. Sometimes, you know, it's their opinion that they have enough evidence to file this charge. That doesn't mean ultimately that's what's going to happen. But I think in this situation, she may have looked at the facts and said, well, you know, maybe it's there or maybe it's not. But I think it's a good move, you know, for a PR move for myself and then to help what's going on out there.
Yeah, where do you think this case, how does it play out in your view? I mean, based on your experience, I know you haven't seen any evidence, but is this going to be one of those that becomes a show trial, or will this be one of the ones that gets quietly ushered back into the background as order is restored and the country moves on to something else?
I think absolutely this is going to become a show trial. You can see by the protests, I don't think it's going to die down. And then, you know, as it slows down a little bit every week, pieces of information will be leaked, and it'll start up again. It's just going to be one of those crazy cases where, you know, there's emotions on both sides that affect what's happening. And, you know, the media is going to affect this prosecutor's decision on what she does in this case, just like the defense attorney. So it just gets out of control really quickly.
I got to say, I watched Ms. Mosby in her press conference, and she seemed to be pretty no-nonsense. She seemed to have, it was a strong press conference until the very end when she got political. And then she started, you know, saying that she was doing this for the youth, and she counted herself among the youth. This is our time, she said. And everything right up until that point, I thought was completely appropriate for somebody in her position. But then that made me really, that really took me aback by saying, so this is what this is all about. That was the hint. This was pretty political.
She needs to write down and put it on a mirror and look at it every morning. This is business, not personal. She should have no emotional stakes. She should have no comparison to the youth. It should have nothing to do with except doing her job, and that is to see that justice is done, whether it is convicting these cops, whether it is dismissing the cases against them. But again, it's business, not personal. She should have no political input into this. She should just do her job, look at the facts, and do what she thinks is right.
Rick DiToto, he is a former prosecutor turned defense attorney, tons of courtroom experience, minor cases all the way up to capital murder cases. Such an honor to welcome you in as part of the Legal Eagle team here on the Salcedo Show, sir, and hope to talk to you again.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You betcha. More to come on the other side of the break, folks. This is the Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. I see we have calls holding. We'll get to your calls on the other side of the break.
He is quickly becoming the left's favorite pinata. Only problem is, this pinata hits back. Chris Salcedo, on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
The antidote to the Brian Williams press. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. 888-900-3393. That is the phone number to the Broadway studio line. Agnes in North Carolina. Thanks for calling, lady. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say, I don't know the guy's name that you was talking to, the Democrat attorney.
I don't know. I don't know what his political affiliation was. I know that the sheriff of Milwaukee is a Democrat.
Oh, well, whoever you was talking to, they're my favorite, too.
But really? You like him, huh?
Yes, I like him very much.
Well, I'm glad to welcome him as part of the Legal Eagle team here on the Salcedo Show. We'll be hearing him from here more, I'm sure.
I hope so. Well, I just wanted to say that I do think it's terrible that this is going on, and it should have been quieting down a long time ago. And I feel so sorry for the guy that did get killed, and I hope and pray that the policeman didn't contribute to it. But if they did, I want them to pay for it.
Let justice be done.
Let justice be done. You're exactly right. And I also want to say I admire the woman that came out and got her son out of it and took him out.
Yeah. You know the liberals are actually talking about putting her up on charges of child abuse for doing that.
Isn't that terrible?
It is terrible. Again, folks, what's at work there, and Agnes, what's at work there is the liberals' attempt to undermine parental authority here in this country. I mean, it's if it's not subservient to the state, the liberals want nothing to do with it. And if it's a woman taking control of her kids and doing it the right way, of course, America applauded that mom, Toya, I think her first name was Toya, if I remember correctly, while the liberals, she should be brought up on charges for child abuse. It's like that liberal idiot who said, we can't call our kids thugs. Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry if they're going to act like thugs.
They're thugs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, Agnes, right?
You're exactly right. Well,
right,
I just
lady.
Want to comment on her being so nice by doing that. If my child was out there, you better believe that I would have gone out there and got mine.
Darn straight. Thank you, Agnes. I appreciate the call. I want to get one more in here. Let's go out to from North Carolina all the way across the country, California, Los Angeles. Paul, thanks for calling.
Chris.
Sir.
Nice to talk to you again. Hey, I'm preparing a report for Buck on Monday on this, but I heard you talking about it, so I just wanted to call up and give you a couple of key points that I don't think anybody here is considering. First of all, we know for a fact that she contacted, the mayor contacted Valerie Jarrett before she even contacted the governor. We know that from Fox News, all right? And you know that Valerie Jarrett carries around Alinsky's book like a dog-eared Bible. So we know that this thing was orchestrated from the start. We also know that you can't, you got tough ghetto cops. Baltimore cops are tough. You know, I worked the ghetto here in Los Angeles, and a ghetto is a ghetto. Okay, I was a deputy sheriff down here, and it's no different. You know, when you get these problems that erupt, whether it's bottle throwing or you get these gangs, that these very violent, dangerous gangs with multiple violations, when you get them coming in like this, you've got to deal with them quickly, you know, to save the community. And you're saving the black community. You're not saving white urban. You're sacrificing your life for blacks Hispanics. You know, these white cops are not racist at all. Dedicated.
I don't want to have to call any community black or white or Hispanic. It's just that you're saving the community regardless of what color it is.
That's right.
So let me ask you this: as a law enforcement officer, you know that my favorite sheriff now, Sheriff Clark from Milwaukee,
said that
if he was given the order from the mayor, now we know she gave the stand down order to give the protesters room to protest and also the looters and the arsonists room to destroy. She gave the order. Now Clark says he would have disobeyed the order. What would you have done as a law enforcement officer?
Absolutely disobeyed the order. And that, if you notice, the sheriffs the local PDs are starting to disobey the orders of the Fed. And that's why the Fed's trying to take over these local sheriffs.
Yeah.
Because they're standing for the Constitution, Chris. They're standing up for property rights and other things. They're saying, wait a minute, you don't have the right to come in here and do this. Well, you know, have they not been completely all-controlled Democratic area, they would have been able to deal with this effectively and put this thing down. But just like in Ferguson, they were told to back off. You know, the Ferguson, if you notice, they brought in, they did this exact same formula in Ferguson so they can get it to come up, so they can get to their communists. You know, George Soros spent $33 million to bring communists and all kinds of other rebel rousers into the area to help fuel this. So this is a pure orchestration of you know, what they're trying to do. And like you said earlier, which was brilliant, it's taking off our attention off of what's really important, which is the nukes and the hostages and the ships that we're supposed to be protecting that are being seized. I mean, you know, you're really wise in that you understand the overall picture here of how deception and smoke and mirrors. And that's what I love about your show, because you're constantly exposing that. But you know, these guys were. This started out as a drug bust in the heaviest drug area of Baltimore, and this guy had been arrested 18 times.
Oh no! Known. You know what? He had a rap sheet a mile long too, Paul,
and that's right.
And a lot of folks have been pointing that out. Hey, look, I got to scoot because we only got about 30 seconds left in the program. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it as always, Paul from Los Angeles, folks, out in on the left coast. All right, remember. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is seized by its out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for we, the people. Slater Crusaders, buckle yourselves in. Mike is in next to this very same Blaze Radio Network. I will see you next weekend. See you.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.